Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I'm continuing in my mini-series, which I've entitled One Way to Apostasy, which is really pointing out one of many ways that we are heading towards the great apostasy that's been predicted in Scripture. And that one way that we've been looking at in this mini-series are so-called Christian magazines. Of course, there are some good Christian magazines that are still out there, but we're looking at some of the magazines that are leading us in the direction of heretical teachings and moving towards apostasy. Now, we've been looking at the first magazine in the list that I've chosen, which has been around for quite some time, known as Charisma, otherwise known as the Mad Magazine of Christianity, or maybe we should call it TBN in print, might be another a good name for Charisma, as it has featured many of the same heretical teachers and false prophets that have been on TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network, for years. I've been looking at a few of the older issues, or at least within the last few years, and ultimately, when I finish speaking about Charisma, I will be looking at two of the more recent issues before we move on to the next magazine, but that'll be a few podcasts ahead. Now, I want to do a quick review of some of the deceptions we've already looked at that have been featured or advertised in past issues of Charisma. For instance, Jonathan Cahn's various unbiblical books and beliefs, you know, the Harbinger, the Shemitah, etc. He has a new one out. I forgot the name of it. And then the Seventh-day Adventist cult, they've been featured in, you know, with their TV program, The Amazing Facts, or Amazing Facts is called, with Doug Batchelor. I also pointed out Randy Clark, who was one of the key players in the Toronto Blessing and is still involved in so-called impartation ministries that are deceiving many. Bill Johnson we've looked at from Bethel Church, or at least just really one or two of the things that, I mean, there's many errors that have come out of that church and Bill Johnson, but we've looked at Sozos, so-called Sozos, counseling type training that has come forth there, and also Theophostic, other false salvation or counseling deceptions. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the Charisma issue, March 2013, and in this particular issue, the cover story is The Bible Made for TV with Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, you know, one of the angels from the TV program. Anyway, this is the cover story, but we're going to concentrate this week and probably next week on a secondary story, and this is a secondary personality anyway. Kenneth Copeland, he had an article called An Answer to a Biblical or to a Global Crisis. And of course, Kenneth Copeland is really synonymous with false teaching, and he's been around for many, you know, for decades. It's amazing how he's survived this long. He's sort of like Hillary Clinton. I mean, he just keeps going and going and gets away with this. It's amazing to me. But he's been one of the darlings of TBN and, of course, has been featured often in Charisma magazine. Now, years ago, I got a cassette tape with verbatim recorded quotes of Kenneth Copeland from Dave Hunt's ministry, which at the time was called Christian Information Bureau. Presently, or you know, we now know it as Berean Call. They still put out a newsletter. They still publish books, and they still have a great discernment ministry. Dave has gone on to be with the Lord, as I've mentioned before, for those who don't know. I don't know if there are still, if these, you know, this tape that I have, actually it's a cassette, believe it or not, but I don't know if this or these quotes are still available in modern CD or MP3 form, but it was a little bit of a trouble to try to play them for you. So I found some transcripts and comments from a lady named Tricia Trillin of Banner Ministries off the internet. And, you know, also her tape apparently was updated from mine. Mine went further back because she had an additional quote, you know, from Copeland that I didn't have on my cassette. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if these sound bites that were recorded, and which I now have in the transcripted form for you this evening, they very well may have been recorded by my colleague, Jackie Alnor, of Rapture Ready Radio, our broadcast, our internet broadcast, as she has collected much video and audio data from TBN over the years and supplied both Dave Hunt and Walter Martin back in the day, as described in her recent article in the Christian Sentinel. This article entitled Dueling Bible Answer Men, Part 1, The Walter Martin Era, is available, and I would strongly recommend you read it so that you can get a firsthand look at Christian Research Institute over the years. Christian Research Institute was started by Walter Martin, and of course the Bible Answer Man radio program was a part of CRI. It's a fascinating account of this slice of modern-day church history. You can find it at our Rapture Ready Radio Facebook site. And so without further ado, I did want to mention that, but I want to move on to the transcripts that I have. And Tricia has actually done a series called Wells Without Water, the Word Faith, or the Word of Faith teachings. And apparently she's extracted these teachings from through 1995 to 2013. And, you know, this section of her study is actually part four, but I, as I said, just I was looking for transcripts of the tapes that I had, and so I pulled up and printed out some of this material so that I could share it with you this evening. And I plan on reading most of these transcripts for those who haven't heard, since some of the amazing blasphemies or the blasphemous heresies come straight from the horse's mouth, that is, from Kenneth Copeland's mouth. And she refers to his messages as extracts, so I will as well. And so let's look at the first extract, and it's entitled The Purpose and Goal of the Ministry, and that is Kenneth Copeland's ministry, or in his mind, I suppose, all true Christian ministry, is prosperity. Now, there's a big news flash, huh? Kenneth Copeland and prosperity. But anyway, the first message on this compilation tape shows us the goal of the Copeland ministry. Copeland says, now the purpose and the goal of this ministry is, just a second, the purpose and goal of this ministry, this is the purpose and the goal of this ministry. I want you to turn off your religious thinking a minute. Remember, this is Kenneth Copeland speaking here. I'm quoting his quotes. First thing, somebody says, what's the purpose and goal of this ministry? Well, the purpose and goal of this ministry, to get souls saved. Well, that's true, yes. That is the purpose of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of every believer. But there are different offices of ministry. There are different callings. There are different purposes inside that calling. And the purpose and the calling of this ministry of this day is to bring the body of Christ to a working, believing, operating, functioning knowledge of the laws that govern abundance in the kingdom of God. When God says, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory, I want to know what those are, okay? And that's where we are, is to share that with the body of Christ, to know what to do, how to function in order to prosper in this earth, to be in line with the earth, in order to win the world and bring the body of Christ to a place where Jesus can come. Now, Tricia says, this emphasis on teaching the body of Christ the laws of prosperity has governed the Word of Faith ministry for some years now. Indeed, it is seen as central to the work of saving the world. The fact that prosperity teaching is the goal and purpose of his entire ministry must mean that Copeland and the others like him, you know, Word Faith teachers, see a different vision of the future than we do. It is this vision that's at fault, much more than the supposed laws of prosperity. What the Bible teaches is that God will supply your needs if you are truly serving him. It also teaches that God cares about us in minute detail, and if we are poor without proper housing or employment, or anything like that, we can pray and believe that God will deliver us from poverty. God has nothing against you owning a house and a nice car as long as your heart is right with Him and you are not living in greed and materialism. The Word says it is the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money itself. So do not be afraid to ask God to supply your needs, even to the point of abundance. But prosperity teaching goes much farther than this. This whole subject is so huge, it would take an entire article just to begin exploring it. I will have to trust that readers are familiar with the Bible and its teaching on riches, generosity, and so forth. I hope you will be aware of the emphasis in Scripture on being content with what you have and avoiding the love of worldly things. So I'll just go on to the central vision of the prosperity message. That is, we need, as Copeland says, to get into line with the earth in order to reach people. All right, this is Copeland now. I want to share some things with you that God showed me while we were in Africa that I hadn't seen before, never had occurred before, and never had occurred to me before. I should have, but I didn't. It just, you know, a deeper revelation of what's already going on. The list, the prayer list that we take, the computer readout on the prayer list that are brought to me, all the prayer requests that are brought to me for me to pray and lay hands on and so forth, running away the most request is for help in my financial life. You know, Kenneth Copeland has a way with words. I mean, kind of a way of butchering words. So you'll have to forgive me as I try to convey what he's saying in his quotes here. And in where I am right now with the way the world's functioning financially and the needs and necessities of my life, far and away, that's the number one prayer request. And that's for two reasons. Number one, because the whole world's sick financially. Two is because we have some reputation of knowledge in that area. So people are consequently going to ask for prayer concerning that where we are concerned, because we don't write them back and say, well, God may be trying to get everything you got, you know, ha ha. So it is important, it is vital to what the body of Christ is doing right now to know how to function in this. One other thing I'm going to tell you before I go any further. This is the message this ministry is going to preach until God says different. This is what we're going to preach and teach. I'm going to preach it until you get tired of hearing it. And then when you get tired of hearing it, I'm going to preach it until you get untired of hearing it. It's going to be just like it was on faith back there 15, 16, 18 years ago, which, by the way, these quotes, of course, are many years ago when he quoted these. When God was getting a hold of the people that would listen to him concerning faith and righteousness in God, you're going to hear about finances and about how to prosper in the kingdom of God and how to prosper in this earth and bring the body of Christ, thereby bring the world to a saving knowledge of Jesus. You're going to hear it, and you're going to hear it until you either shout or stick your fingers in your ears. Not a bad idea. Anyway, one of the two. But you're going to find out, and God is not going to be held responsible for your poverty and for your life. Okay. Again, this is Trisha's comments. There is today an increasing demand in the church, on the church, to dominate the nations and Christianize the world. Kingdom now theology is one of the terms for that type of thing, that type of belief. It's certainly not biblical, but that is the belief of many professing Christians these days. We are being urged to become an army sent out to capture all men for Christ, despite the prophecies that speak of a worldwide apostasy and satanic worship in the end times. One of the ways in which we can change the world system, so they say, is to gather into the church all the wealth of the nations. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the church, they say, misquoting the Old Testament prophecies. And with these riches, we can influence governments and change society for God. Furthermore, on a personal level, in order to impress men and women of the world with the gospel, we ought to be just as rich, just as successful, just as worldly in effect as they are. We have to get in line with the world. We have to get on to their level. Well, I don't need to tell you that this is not the way of God. It never has been, and it never will be. The power of riches is a corrupt power. We have seen it bring men and women of God, even recently, to a complete shipwreck of their faith. Once the motivation of wealth takes hold, preachers get hooked on receiving more and more money from their followers, and their spiritual lives go into decline. These men begin to lie and cheat and exploit Christians simply to keep their status. They compromise so as to not lose followers, who begin to represent an income rather than people in need of help and support. It's a ploy of the devil. Prosperity teaching is not going to win the world. The preaching of the gospel doesn't need million-dollar jets or glass cathedrals to be effective, any more than it needs a Vatican City and treasure houses of paintings and works of art. God abhors this materialistic attitude because it exploits and endangers his beloved sheep. Let God supply your every need, but don't be coerced into supporting the salvation of the world by the laws of prosperity. You'll notice, too, that Copeland says the greatest amount of prayer requests is for financial help. Isn't that sad? Have we become so deaf to God that our only concern in life is to be prosperous and successful? God forgive us. We are the Laodicean church. We are poor and naked, but we don't see it. We need God so much. All right, so much for extract number one. The next quote from this tape from back in the day, and of course, Copeland has never repented of any of these comments or beliefs or teachings. The next extract is, Copeland's spirit comes out of his body, and his resistance of it is sinful. And if you've not heard about this, as I say, this goes pretty far back. Very strange, very weird stuff here. And this is a long quotation, so bear with me. Copeland said, and I got into a service one night. I was standing. It was in a city auditorium. It had a regular type stage with curtains on both sides. And I was standing over there, you know, like you do. And I was standing behind the curtain waiting for 7:30 to come. I don't like to start at 7:29 or 7:31. I like to start at 7:30. That's what the sign says. So I just figured God would bless not lying. In other words, you know, he didn't want to lie by coming on a minute late or a minute early. You know, and I'm standing there just waiting on 7:30. The microphone was standing on a mic stand out there in the middle of the platform, and I'm standing back over there behind the curtain, and my body was so icky and so tired my knees would hardly hold me up. And I'm standing going like this, and the ickiest sensation started taking place inside me I've ever felt in my life, and suddenly I began to be aware that my body, that my spirit is coming out of my body. Well, you know, who are you going to call? Anyway, I shouldn't laugh. It's creepy more than funny. Anyway, that's my little quote. It scared me, and I grabbed hold of it with my will and wouldn't let it go. And I said, now, God, somehow now it's 7:30, and I'm going out there where that microphone is. I really didn't think I could make my foot go one step. I thought if I move it, I'd fall over. I didn't have any energy, nothing left in me, zero, zip, that's it. Now, I've been exhausted before. I mean, I've been an athlete all my life and done all that. I've played till there wasn't left any play in me, you know. You go and take a shower and a little bit, you're all right. But this time, man, there was nothing left. I did not have anything there. I'm trying to impress on you that it was God, holy God. And I said, in the name of Jesus, and I started the word says, say to the mountain, and the mountain was my feet. They wouldn't move. And I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you will walk. Bless God, you will go out there. I will not back down. Lay down. Bless the Lord God. I will lay down and die before I back off and say I can't in the name of Jesus. I kept on and kept on. And I finally got out there to the microphone and took the microphone and sang about four notes. Then the anointing of God hit me. Man, I want you to know, I preached half of the night. I mean with power coming out of my body. And I really did. I just preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. And I got back over to the hotel and I couldn't quit. I went to bed and I couldn't sleep, and all night long I didn't sleep. And I got into the airplane and flew the thing home, and I couldn't quit. I got home, decided I'd better get to bed. I went in there, laid on the bed, and finally went off to sleep. Slept for 14 hours. Now, it took days and days and days and days to get that off me and to get off to where I felt I was just, you know, just anywhere just near like normal. Not rested, dear Lord. I didn't feel rested for years after that. Go on, you can laugh, but every meeting I would go into, I would go down to the bottom. And I would go home and try to rest a few days, and I would not get rested till I had to go into another meeting and finally got into a rest debit. I couldn't catch up with it. I couldn't get rested. My body was getting weaker all the time. It kept getting weaker after that night. It began to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and I began to think, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I got the word. Well, I thought, well, I want to meet the people's needs by the power of God. But if it involves anything physical, I'm liable to die right in the middle of the prayer line. Now, I'm telling you, it ain't funny. And I didn't know what to do. Over a period of 3 or 4 years, I noticed a strong spirit of compromise on me, and I don't compromise. I've based this ministry on not compromising the Word of God. The little things began to get in. Sin wasn't as repulsive to me as it used to be, and not nearly as repulsive as it should have been. Even though I was standing against it, it began to kind of aggravate me because, oh well, you know, I mean, everybody does that. Pressure got on me so bad that I began to say some negative things once in a while. Wow, can you imagine the positive confessor saying something negative? And I'd hear that stuff come out of my mouth and couldn't believe my own ears. It would come out before I could catch it, and I'd think, Lord, this ain't right. Always in the past, if something like that would start out of my mouth, I'd catch it and certainly wouldn't let it come out of my mouth, and I would repent and renounce it and fall on my face. And now I found myself being a little bit aggravated because, bless God, for 15 years I hadn't had to rant or cuss or nothing. I can't even say I can't. Huh? I still had the revelation of it, but I was having a hard time trusting. Now, when I began to minister, I get on the road, getting the Word of God, the anointing would come on me. Man, and I mean I hit that platform, and I mean it was good old age of hearing, whatever that means, of hearing it. I'd come off that platform and get out of my ministry and get in my everyday life, and was breaking my back physically and spiritually. It was breaking my back. It finally got to be such a heavy burden on me that I cried out to God. I said, I can't stand this anymore. I got to go one way or the other, and I am not going to go the other way. Now, we got to come to an understanding here somehow or another, so God began to deal with me. He said, I want you to go into a fast next January. This was back last summer, he said. He said, I want you to go on a fast next January, and he said, when you pray, and when you think, and when you start to pray about it, don't even pray about it. Just talk in tongues about it a little bit. And then God said, he said, don't tell anybody about it. Don't tell Gloria or nobody what you're going to do. So January came and I got into that fast and I began to pray and seek God. God all around me had begun to speak through the mouths of other spiritual people and began to tell me, and I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear. It would make me so mad, it would just fly all over me. Just like taking an old rooster and rubbing his feathers the wrong way. Oh man, somebody come up to me and say, oh brother Copeland, the Lord is telling me that God wants you to double up and get faster and reach more countries and more nations and go to the other parts of the world. And I'm thinking on the inside, and I'd be saying, yeah, just shut up, will you? I'm worn out. Besides that, for the first time in my life, we got a son that's old enough to go to do somethings with me as my friend and my buddy. He loves to hunt. I love to hunt. He loves to fish. I love to fish. He loves to boat. I love to boat. Ha ha. He loves to water ski. I love to water ski. He loves to snow ski. I love to snow ski. I fall. He skis. But I love being with him, and I love to do all these things with him. And for the first time in my life, I'm not sweating where my meals are coming from. I don't have a bunch of money in the bank. But it got to where I could buy my groceries. And over a period of time, just when things would happen, different people had given me guns to hunt with and gifts from God. I knew they were from God, and I said for the first time in my life, I got a gun in there to hunt everything and every season, and I want to hunt, and so does John, his son, I guess. And now God's coming in here and telling me, I want you to be going 100% commitment. I want you fully. I said, don't you give me that trash. I weren't ready to hear that, and I finally told the Lord, we got to get something straight here. Now, I don't know whether I just want to get out here and die for you or not. Now, it had been all that, years ago that I would have died for him on the spot. My heart still wanted to, but my old bone meat didn't. My old flesh didn't, and my flesh was ruling me in my own personal life, and it was about to get over into my ministry, and I knew it. So it had to be stopped before it could get over into that ministry. I'd rather die than have that ministry putrefied with the flesh. So I got into that fast. Oh, dear Lord, I got out there with God, and God began to work me over, and I told him, I'm not going to be able to do this without any strength. I said, you got the strength, and I'm here, so let's get at it. I had already made up my mind, and I said, well, whatever you want to do, I'll do it, dear God. I don't know what I was thinking about anyway. That ain't nothing but sin. If I know I'm going to fall dead in my tracks the next day I lay my hands on, well, I'll just die, that's all. I'm gonna do it. Well, then God started to turn my heart. Then I started tearing the thing up, too, digging around in it, digging all the selfishness out of it. And about 14 days on nothing but water, I found the seed of that compromise. I was begging God, show me where that thing is. I got to know where that spirit got into my ministry and into my life. How did I get in there? How did it get in there? I hate sin with a passion. How did that get into me? Got buried in up in my flesh somewhere. How did I do it? He said, the day you down there in such and such town, standing over there behind the curtain, and your spirit started coming up out of your body, and you jumped up, jumped back like you thought you was dying, and you let fear get a hold of you, and I remember I did. And I'm just about out of time here. And I said, well, God, I mean, ha-ha, really? Now, what kind of a horse do you think I am that they're not going to at least to give, you know, a few chairs to stand there and die, whatever that means? He said, you weren't dying. I said, what do you mean I wasn't dying? My spirit was a-coming out of my body. He said, that's right, you were a-fixin' to. He said, you were about to come out of your body, and I was going to allow you to minister to that congregation without your body. You were going to go through that congregation like a whirlwind of the power and the glory of God. I said, you'll have to show me that in the scripture. And he said, and showed me 2 Corinthians in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That's pretty good impersonation of Kenneth Copeland, isn't it, folks? Anyway, we'll finish this wild story next week. God bless you. Good night.